Gittin, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, 2-2. The Mishnah retreats from that sort of specific situation of delivering Gittin from abroad, and now goes back to the basics of what makes a get a get. Now, the Torah specifies she has to get, the wife has to get a sefer krisus in her hand, and therefore simply any document which says you're dismissed as my wife, you're free to go, or the like, would be effective. The rabbis, however, required that the get should have a date on it. In fact, they should have dates both regarding the time at which the get was, or the date on which the get was written, as well as dates for when the get was signed. And we'll see in a moment here, according to the Tanakam and the Halacha, the get has to be written and signed on the same day. Now, the rationale for why there's a requirement to date Gittin is subject to a machlokas. The Tanakam will hold, and this is the Halacha, the rabbis were afraid of something which they called Mishum Bas Achoso, because of one's niece. The idea being that if a person married his relative, so then if she would be Mizana and be adulterous while they were married, so then she might be facing the death penalty. And aside from him wanting to divorce her, he might have Rachmanas on her because, you know, it's his daughter's kid or something, and agree to give her a get without a date, which would enable her to defend herself. When she's brought to Bezdin, she'll say, listen, yes, I did what you accused me of, but I was no longer a married woman. Here's my get. And since the get wasn't dated, it would be ambiguous, and she could hide behind that. Therefore, the rabbi said, according to the Tanakhama, Gittin must be dated. More than that, as we'll see, since we can confirm the date of the signing of the get, because the Edom, the witnesses, will put date their signatures. So if the get is written and it's dated as of some time, some day, other than the day on which the witnesses are signing, so then we don't really know if that's true. We'll have to be concerned that maybe it's being pushed back further and further, again, to protect the relative. And that being the case, any time when the date written as the writing of the get and the date that identifies the time of the signing of the get are not the same, the get will be puzzle. That's what the Tanakam holds, and that's what the Mishnah says here inside. It says, Nichtav b'yom v'nechtam b'yom. If on the same day the get is both written and signed, that's going to be okay. Or b'layla v'nechtam b'layla. Or if it's written at night and it's signed at night, again, the date on the get will be the same because there's no requirement to put the time of day, just the date on the calendar. Similarly, b'layla v'nechtam b'yom. If the night before the get is written and the morning after the get is signed, so the date will be the same, because in Jewish calendar, of course, the day follows the night. So in all those cases, kasher, the get is okay, is acceptable. But bayom, if the get was written on one day, v'nechtam b'layla, and it's signed in the subsequent night after that day, which would mean a different day on the calendar, so it's written on, you know, Monday morning, but already that's Yom Sheni, but come nightfall, then Monday evening is Yom Shlishi. So that will be pasul. That will be an invalid get for the reason I described before, because the Tanakhama holds, we're afraid he is going to be backdating his gittin to protect his relative. In some scenarios, therefore, all gittin as such are totally invalid. And a get whose date is different than the date on which it was signed is the same as not having a date at all. Rabbi Shimon Machshir. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon says, yes, it's true, there's a requirement to date Gittin, but the reason for that was something totally different. The reason for that was, we're not worried about people protecting their relatives. That wasn't the motivation of the original enactment to put a date on a get. It was purely one of economic considerations. And the thing is that a husband is entitled to the usufruct rights, meaning the her nichse malug, he can eat the benefit from the peros, which, without describing it more, means if she owns an apartment building and they get married together, while they're married, he can collect the rent and spend the rent as he sees fit. But when they get divorced, she gets the apartment building back as it is. So the concern was that if there wouldn't be a date on the get, she could claim that the husband was eating, you know, her peros, meaning he was getting benefit from taking the rent, the nechsem alug, illegally, and that could also implicate other people, let's say, who subsequently, you know, got rights to that stuff. So she can mess things up. And therefore, there's a requirement to put a date. But Rabbi Shimon says, listen, anyways, he says there's a separate rabbinic requirement which says that as soon as a husband writes a get for his wife even before it's signed. Already from then, he loses his rights to her, to the payros of her nechsimalug, from collecting the rent from her real estate and so on. And that being the case, you have no real economic concern here. But let me make something clear. Rabbi Shimon certainly agrees, everyone agrees, that if you fraudulently date a get and say it was written on a time prior than when it was really written, so that's totally an invalid get. The issue here is simply where it was written on one day and signed on a different day, so we can't, the witnesses can't confirm when it was written, but that alone won't invalidate the get because there's no reason anymore to be concerned for economic reasons, since whenever it's written, that's the date from which he would lose his rights in his usufruct rights on the payros of her property, and there's no other real economic considerations that we could be concerned about regarding the date of the get. That being the case, Rabbi Shimon says, machshir, such a date with such a get with two different dates on it is kosher. Shai Rabbi Shimon Omer, because Rabbi Shimon holds, kol ha-gitin, any contract, the word here gitin means any contract, like an IOU contract or a sale of a building contract, shenichtevu v'yom v'nechtum v'layla, if the date on which the contract was written and the date on which it was signed are different, meaning, for example, you wrote it in the morning and you signed in the evening on a different day, that's going to be psulin. Those kind of contracts are definitely not acceptable. Chutz megite nashim, except for women's divorce documents, because those are the ones that don't have really economic impacts other than what I described before. And since he says as soon as he writes the get, or has it written, then automatically he now forgoes further benefits from her nechsimalug, so therefore there's no economic considerations at all. Now, the halachas like the Tanakama, meaning that a get certainly must have a date, and the date that it was written must be the same as the date on which it was signed. Notwithstanding that, everyone agrees that if you post-date a get, meaning you say this get will be effective only as of next week on Tuesday, so that yes will be effective. That's okay. Just as if I have a sale document which says I'm selling in my home, which will be taking effect next Tuesday, again, that will, yes, be effective, because there's no reason why anyone's getting messed up economically. It's just the backdating of the contract, which could cause people who, let's say, became, you know, got that would backdate certain people's, you know, rights in terms of, like, who has right of, you know, first claim on encumbered properties and that kind of thing. So forward contracts and forward dated gittin are, yes, acceptable, but backdated ones are not.